reading today is from John chapter 13. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord.
So I'll pray before we start. So Father God, we pray this day that you will speak to us about service and about fulfillment. That you may show us something from this passage about what it means to be a follower of you. In your name we pray. Amen. So the theme of today's talk is what brings fulfillment. So it may not be immediately obvious how this comes from the reading, but hopefully I'll be able to draw out a number of themes that will help us understand what this passage means for us today. Now, this is an amazing and important passage for us all, yet it can be easily overlooked as we admire the beautifully comic note that John introduces to the story. Who does not find smelly feet funny? And without fully grasping the life-changing message contained within, we can easily skim over the surface. I think it would easily fit within a 90s sitcom. So Jesus and all his friends are ready for the meal, all fine so far. Judas goes, "Welcome everyone to the Last Supper." "The what?" I meant the supper. "But Jesus, well, everyone's fine," but then he gets up from the table. He strips to the waist and starts washing the disciples' feet. Can you imagine the embarrassing looks going around? "What is he doing? What are you doing, mate?" "Oh, just washing your feet." "What? Why?" Can you feel how awkward it would be? Well, at least until it got to Peter. As we know, Peter can't ever keep his mouth shut. "You're not going to wash my feet, ever." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Well, unless I do this, you've no part with me." "Well, I mean, come on, this is Peter. Never one to think things over quietly." He blurts out, "Ah, the feet, is it? Well, no, you can do all of me. Hands, head, feet, the lot." "Oh, Peter, you goof." You can almost hear the eye rolls and the canned laughter. "If you're clean enough, you only need your feet washing. Roll credits." John tells a great story. He really does. But there's quite a bit more going on here, and I'd like to bring a bit more of that to you. Jesus washing their feet would have been really, really shocking for the disciples. They couldn't even imagine of washing somebody else's feet, since this was a task normally reserved for the lowliest of menial slaves or servants. Some Jews saw it as so demeaning that they thought even Jewish servants shouldn't do it, that only Gentile servants should wash feet. And as far as we're aware, there is no instance ever in the sources of either Jewish or Greco-Roman superiors washing the feet of someone inferior to them in status. It just was not done. So, did Jesus make a mistake? Did he just get carried away? Well, no, he chose to. He chose to. We're told he deliberately stripped to his waist and wrapped a towel around it before he started washing feet. He chose to adopt not only the attitude, but the dress of a menial servant, a way of dressing that was looked down upon in both Jewish and Gentile circles, not the done thing for a lord and teacher. He knew that. So what is Jesus doing and why is he doing it? Well, he really wanted to change the disciples' mindset. They were starting to feel that they were important. They were part of the Messiah's call to conquer, bring the Jewish people back to where they should be. And Jesus wanted to say, it's not like that. It's not like that. We lead through service. So he doesn't just talk about humility. He just doesn't tell people that they need to be humble. He acts upon it. He does it freely. He's chosen to do this. No one said, right, whose turn is it now to do the feet washing? They're all already sat down. No one was going, well, I need my feet washed before I can eat. They were sat down. But then he gets up. Then he washes the feet. He does it voluntarily. He doesn't go, right, guys, I'm going to wash your feet, and there's a good teaching point in this. He starts. He just does it without comment. He washes everyone's feet. He washes everyone's feet, even though he knew that somebody in that room was going to betray him. He washed their feet too. He loved everybody. And he takes the lowest role, the most menial role, and he doesn't ask anyone else who's sitting there to take that role. Yet. That comes later. So Jesus is reversing the normal roles of society. A teacher and a lord would not be expected to wash the feet of those around him. These people were following him. They were learning from him. He could have expanded on how humility was important. But would that have been remembered now? Probably not. But such an act of humility is remembered. It's unnecessary, and so it is stunning. It is simultaneously a display of unbridled love, a symbol of saving cleansing, and a model of Christian conduct for us all. Pope Francis once said, "God saved us by serving us." He recounted the times that we hear of the Christ who serves. As we see from this reading of Philippians, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. The servant who washes the feet of his disciples. But also the servant who suffered through crucifixion on Good Friday. God saved us by serving us, by taking that lowly position. The Pope continued by saying that while we often think that we're the ones who serve God, we must remember that it is God who freely chose to serve us first, for he loved us first. Now, you might recognise this young man. On the 2nd of July last year, I was ordained. Now, I don't often wear clothes like this. We don't at St Luke's, but I do occasionally. And I was ordained as a deacon. That might confuse some of you. You think I'm the curate. Well, I am, but I'm also a deacon. And actually, deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means servant. All clergy are ordained first a deacon. And that remains their first calling for the rest of their ministry. Ben is a deacon. I am a deacon. Even the Archbishop of Canterbury and all the bishops are deacons. They're called first and foremost to serve God's people as Jesus served us. And one of the declarations that's read at the very beginning of that service is this: God has given us a variety of ministries. Deacons are ordained so that people of God may be better equipped to make Christ known. Theirs is a life of visible self-giving. Christ is the pattern of their calling and their commission. Has he washed the feet of his disciples, so they must wash the feet of others. Well, so that I would remember my first calling in my ministry, All Saints Church, where I served as an ordinand, gave me this beautiful handmade bowl so that I could wash feet wherever I go. It's even got John 13, 14 to 17 marked on the inside. So, does anyone want their feet washing? You're more than welcome. If a couple of people would like to sit at the front, they can have their feet washed. I will wash your feet. Okay, well, I am prepared. I've even got my jug of water. I wasn't doing this as a...
Come on, someone.
Very brave of you. I don't know if anyone else wants to have their feet washed. Embarrassed silence. Thank you. Thank you so much. Not a problem. Thank you. It's an honour. And it is an honour. And it's not just about washing of feet. That's a symbol. And it's a symbol that I'm called to serve you guys. But is it just a deacon thing? Is it just a clergy thing? No. No, it's not. Jesus said, "You called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Jesus goes even further. He reminds them that this act of service is more than what it seems. that it is a pouring out of his life for them as well. And for us, what we celebrate at Easter in a few short weeks, and what we celebrate every time we take communion together. The service of communion signifies a whole new relationship with God, a washing clean, a starting again. And it's a relationship to be lived out in the service of others. We must serve others in imitation of Christ. As I have done for you, you should also do. So we are all called to serve others. But there's another element here as well. We must receive service from others. So for some of you here, you're being called to serve at this season. And for others, you're being called to put aside your pride and receive service. Peter didn't want to be served by Jesus. No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet ever. But sometimes we need to accept the service of others as well. But service should not be done as a duty. If we start to think of service as a duty, then it's a job. It's not service, it's a job. It's a chore. But service as a response to Jesus' great sacrifice of love for us, however unlovely we may feel. If we look at service as being a chore, then we just don't understand what being a Christian is. When you look at service as your response to a loving Jesus Christ, your act of love back to the Lord, then that's when joy comes. Even in the most horrible tasks, the most demeaning tasks, the most unlovely tasks. Now let me tell you a story. I love this story. So I used to be involved in a Christian sailing holiday. We used to take kids away, age 14 to 18. And there was this group of lads who just were not interested. So they'd enjoy the sailing, they only came for the sailing. They weren't interested in all that God stuff, you know, and fair enough. But actually, at the end of the week, one of them said, I want to become a Christian. And we thought, great, our teaching's got through. We've convinced them with our arguments and our bold teaching. But no, it wasn't that. He said, what did it for me was when the toilet on the boat got blocked. And one of the leaders put his hand down the toilet to clean it. He said he didn't complain, he didn't say anything about it, he just did it. And he said, if someone can behave like that, then I want to be a bit like that too. And that convinced him. We act from a place of love. This is, as strange as it seems, where we will find fulfillment. Not in the doing of tasks, not in the jobs of life, but in selflessly serving others. So, does that mean we need to pour onto the streets of Hedge End with buckets and sponges, ready to wash people's feet? You'll be glad to hear, probably not. Some people's feet probably do need a sponge and bucket, but probably not. But there are clearly other ways. Perhaps we can wash feet by reaching out to clean up or wash clean a broken relationship. To pour out ourselves to a person who is isolated or ill or alone through a phone call. Perhaps we can bathe the wounds of someone who's hurting emotionally. Random acts of kindness, however small, can make us feel so good because we are following in the steps of our Lord. Now, we do labs here, and a lot of it is unsung. I've been surprised about how much we do. I mean, we've heard about Youth Cafe, and Rose, she's gone now, so I can embarrass her thoroughly. She always points at other people. Everyone else is doing a great job. We have Encounter, which is done on a Wednesday, where people gather for coffee and cake. A lovely thing. We have Minnows with the little children. We have Open the Book, where we go into both the primary schools. Now, if we bring those people up the front, they would be so embarrassed. Because they don't do it for their own glory. They do it to spread the joy and love of the kingdom of God. We did a litter pick the other week. You know, who was watching that? Nobody. Why were we doing it? Because we love people. And we have people every week do the AV desk, we do the coffee rota, children's church, the flower rota. You don't see them, you don't hear them, but they're serving. And we come, and this is appropriate, I think, for Mothering Sunday, we come where we celebrate those who have served us, those who continue to serve us. And through reversing those roles, we try to serve them on this day. And so just remember that we are challenged, as always, to live and serve in the image of Christ. But we're also called to receive service. We're called to accept what Jesus does for us, but we're also called to accept what other people do for us. However badly they may do it. I remember when it was Mother's Day many years ago, I tried to make a little gift box for my mum, and it was dreadful. It was made out of matchboxes. That was the time when we had matchboxes at home. And I'd made this little chest of drawers and covered it in wallpaper, and it was terrible. It didn't serve any purpose, but mum loved it. Not because of what came from it, but because of the thought and the love that was in it. So the challenge for you today on Mothering Sunday, but also the challenge for you this week, however big or however small, what can we do to serve others and serve God? What is God putting on your heart? We are called to serve as he first served us. That is what brings fulfillment to our lives. Not acting for reward, not for glory, but for love. So we're going to, before the band play, we're going to have a little bit of stillness where we can listen to God's prompting for us this week. So if you close your eyes a minute. Lord, thank you for this example of service, how to receive the gifts that you freely and generously gave to us, and the example that we should then generously go and sow those gifts around our community in small ways and in big ways, Lord. Challenge us, each one of us, to think about what it is you call us to. In your name we pray. Amen.